Touchdown Tampa Bay. You're listening to the PewterCast.
Welcome to the PewterCast live, talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers traveling up to North Carolina on a 7-hour delay, but it didn't matter because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know what they decided to do this week, folks? Kind of like me, they decided to show up and win big, 46-23. I am Brent Allen, your host. That's my good friend right over there, Ren Daxt. Ren. I like these shows so much better this way.
Am I looking at you? Or am I looking the wrong way?
You are looking the wrong way.
Okay.
Yes, turn the other way. There you go.
Okay. Now I know. Yeah, I mean, like I've always said, you know, get Antonio Brown involved in this offense and we'll win some games.
Yeah. Well, like I've been saying, give Rojo 20 freaking touches no matter what and we're going to win some games. Rojo... 24 touches today. Only one of them was a pass.
Yeah.
He was this close to 200 yards. I mean, he was 2 yards shy of 200 yards. That's good night.
Yeah.
Good night.
Look, don't look now, but we have a Christian McCaffrey type back in Tampa Bay.
Yeah. I like it. Well, I don't know if I'd go that far yet with Rojo, but that's the kind of run, that Rojo run.
You mean future Ring of Honor player?
Future Ring of Honor. Oh, I'm not quite there yet, but
we've both been saying, like, cause the three times where he got where he had to carry the rushing game when Fournette and Shady were both out,
right.
He ran for 300 yards 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Then Fournette comes back and they keep cutting into his touches. And then today they try to cut into his touches, but they made him keep him out there, even with the fumble. Like, I thought we weren't going to see Rojo to like the Rams game.
Right.
After that first fumble. But they decided to, treat him like all the other players who make mistakes.
And
it paid off. So, yeah. So now that when they feed Rojo the ball 20 times or more.
Yep.
He's got 500 yards in four games and the Bucs are 4-0 this year.
Yeah. Sounds good to me. I'm good with it.
I mean,
listen, and if that's what it takes, then that's what it takes and freaking just do it, you know? So
probably 600 yards.
Yeah. It's probably close. Well, Ren, I'd like to give a quick shout out and say hello to everyone who is joining us live out here at, we're on YouTube, we're on Facebook, we're on Periscope, Twitter, thepewtercast.live, or to the many thousands of you that will listen to the downloaded podcast audio feed later. Hello to all of you guys. We are here talking about this game in just a few moments. We're going to open up the phone lines. We'll also open up the video chat. You guys can join us one way or the other. We'll drop those in the chat room over there and you guys can jump in. But Ren, but before we do it, I know we've just been talking about it a little bit, but take me through it. Take me through your side. I know you were with the Collide Party app today quite a bit. But talk us through your views of this, I don't know if it's fair to call this a shellacking, but this was a bounce back game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, especially coming off last week.
Yeah, big time. A little scary at first, right?
Yeah.
Defense couldn't stop the Panthers. Panthers come out, go 3-and-out, and then I think they scored every time touched the ball for the rest of the first half, except for when they got it with 30 seconds left.
Right.
Ended up going 17-17. Weren't seeing a lot of man-to-man. Weren't seeing a lot of blitzes. We're seeing the Panthers run the ball between the tackles and around the end, getting to the edge and keeping it second down and short and third down and short. Then, Carlton Davis got beat over the top and he got hurt. And the next play, whoever that ex-Panther was, Rockwell.
Right.
James Rockford Files.
Right.
Yeah, he got erased from the face of the planet. He got contied, and it's like, oh, man, this isn't, okay, well, at least we're scoring. Okay, so this might be a 42-45 game. This is going to be a tough one. We knew it was going to be a tough one. We did.
Right.
The Panthers are playing way better than their record. And then the second half happened and they can't, Todd Bowles started bringing some more offense. Of course, the huge play of getting it 2-for-1, even though it was a field goal to start the second half, ending the half with a touchdown, getting the field goal besides that 30-second penalty, you know, time that the Saints, or excuse me, the Panthers had the ball. So getting a 2-for-1 there, then getting an immediate 3-and-out, and then getting pinned back on the one. It was like, okay, 3-and-out. And I put it in the Collide app. I was like, okay, like just flip the field. This is what you have to do. You got to get a couple of first downs, get it out to the 30, 35, flip the field, make them go the distance. And a fan that goes by of the name G in the chat, the live chat, said Ronald Jones 99 yards, like during the commercial break after the punt. And lo and behold, you know, if you say that every time,
right,
the ball's on the one, you might be right once. And he was. He nailed it. So and then after that, the Bucks, even though
here he is right here. G Vegas.
Yep,
that's it. What up, Brent and Wren? Called the Rojo touchdown run.
Yeah, man, he called it. You know, thanks for joining us in the Collide live chat. Yeah, but after that, it was kind of smooth sailing, honestly, you know. Started bringing some more of those exotic blitzes with that touchdown run. And it was almost like a back-to-back. It was back-to-back scoring, but it was touchdown, didn't get a first down, halftime. Field goal, didn't get a first down, touchdown. Now the Panthers got to start throwing the ball. And when they do that, Bowles started, you know, dialing up some of those more exotic blitzes, using their speed off the edge and up the middle with White and David. And the defense, you know, played the best we've seen them play in, 11, 12 quarters?
Let me ask you this. Speaking of the defense, right, it's been no secret here over the last, I'd say at least a couple of games, a lot of Bucks fans have been giving Todd Bowles a lot of flack for how he's been having the team play off the ball, because this defense plays defense. It was just not how we do it. He was getting a lot of that crap in the first half of this game as well,
because that's what they were doing.
I'm not saying that he did it for the previous games to set up for this game, because that would be ridiculous.
Yes, it would.
But is there something to him doing that a little bit earlier in this game to set it up for not being like that in the second game? Or was this just, do you think, completely an adjustment they made at halftime and turns out it worked, so why the hell would we ever go back to the other way?
I think my best guess is that they know that the tougher games down the road, when I'm talking about playoffs, it really helps if you can get home with four. That really helps. Now, even though they're still first in the league against the run total yards, what we were used to before Vita Vea going out, were like no one getting like a 5-yard gain. Like that was the outlier. Now that seems to be the norm. But so if they could get home with four and play zone, and they think that's a good matchup going into that week, like, okay, we could do this. You know, we could be more aggressive. You know, maybe possibly we get burnt. We'll definitely get home more. But I think against sort of our matchups along the front, we can get home with four and we'll play zone behind that eventually to win some of these games against better teams. And so I think, you know, kind of that's what it is. But I thought he adjusted quicker this week than he had in past weeks to do it. So I'm not sitting here saying that it's you know, they set it up for this week, or they're not playing their best defense because they're not trying to put it on tape. I'm just saying is that they're practicing some things that they're going to need later on in the season against live bullets.
Right.
You know, so that's a tough one for me. It's kind of like, why you get away from what you're doing well. But if you know, like, you know, later on, you're going to have to be able to do this and do it at a better level than you're doing it now. When else, you know, you can't do it against practice and just show up, you know, week one wild card game and hope it works. Like you got to get some reps against some live bullets and people don't know it's coming. So that's where I would be on that. So it was just didn't a nice win overall, man. You know, it was good to have sort of a game where, you know, like the Raiders game where it was over by halftime or right after, but by the fourth quarter, it was over.
Right.
Like, okay. This is all right. I'm good.
Right.
I'm good.
Let me
just like I always said, offensive juggernaut.
Sure. I want to switch topics real quick before we open up the phone lines, but I want to discuss this with you. Bucks fans for weeks and we on this show included, have been clamoring for Mike Evans to get more touches. And there's
targets.
Or targets. Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. Targets. He's clamoring for him to get more targets.
Right.
Finally got him this game. He got 11 targets. Now, here's the thing. I want to
target that much was against the Panthers.
Was it? Was all the way back then?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, week two.
So here's, I just want to point this out. Chris Godwin had 6 targets, 6 receptions tonight. Antonio Brown had 8 targets, 7 receptions. Gronk had 3 targets, 2 receptions. Brate went 3 for 3. Mike Evans had 11 targets, but he only had 6 receptions.
Yeah.
Now he still had 77 yards. He had a touchdown. You know, he got a little bit of yak. He got a 22-yard reception, which I think included some extra yardage there. Obviously, we know Mike Evans is not known for the extra yardage there at the end, but still he got some there.
The runner of the football in open space.
Right, right. And there were times that even though Brady targeted Mike a little bit more or a lot more in this particular game, they still didn't seem to be in lockstep. And I think that would bear it out. 11 targets for 6 receptions. Is there like, I don't really have a question. I'm just sort of like,
why?
Yeah.
Why?
Like he got all these receptions, but he only had like a 50%
complete. Yeah. Yeah. Why is everyone else's completion percentage so high?
Right.
I think Tom Brady hates Mike Evans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or no. Okay. This is what I'm investigating. And my findings won't come out for another 2 weeks. We're still sorting through the data, but Tom Brady hates tattoos and Harry Potter, and Mike Evans has Harry Potter tattoos.
That's okay.
I've got some people lined up. I'm trying to get them on. They won't go on record.
Right.
I know what the story is. But they won't go on record.
Gotcha.
So I can't, you know.
You can't publish it. You don't have the source minimum.
It's Watergate, man.
Yeah.
Like I got to find somebody to talk, you know. Right now, this is all speculation. I can't print it.
Let this be a lesson to you folks out there. Don't get tattoos. Harry Potter. All right, Red. Well, with that, why don't we go and open the phone lines? We'll let people call in. You guys can do it. That phone number is 864-729-BUCKS. That's 864-729-2827. Or for those of you who are joining us live in the chat, you can just click that little link that just popped up down there. I don't think you have to click. I think you got to copy and paste it into your browser. And you guys can join us here on the show. We will take you guys in order as we get you. Please remember with the phone line, we only have one phone line. So if somebody's on hold, you're just going to have to wait till after we hang up the phone with them and then call back in and we'll take the next one. But we'll be here with you guys. But you guys go ahead and do that with us right now. You can call in 864-729-BUCKS. That's 864-729-2827. Ren, we do have somebody who has already joined us here in the video chat and would like
his ceiling fan.
You see the ceiling fan. Yep. So we'll see if we can get him in here.
There we go.
Yep.
There he is.
There he is. Okay. Well, we'll stop talking. John Relios joining us in here. What's going on, John?
Hey, nothing much, guys.
Man, you're looking much more chipper this week.
Yeah, you know, it's like a win makes you everything feel better, you know?
Yeah. Can everyone keep their job this week?
Right.
John? Yeah. Yeah, they actually they did their job, so they keep their jobs.
Okay, good. Okay. So what do you see out there?
First things first, honestly, I like AQ Sipley and Ryan Jensen. That was not bad. That wasn't that bad. I like it. I don't hate it.
Do you want to see that over Jensen Marpet or Sipley Marpet?
But if need be, if we have to do it, I don't mind it. I'm not like, oh my God, we're going to lose. Oh my God, this offensive line is horrible now. I'm like, okay, I feel a little bit more confident now if a guy like that goes down.
Gotcha. So if Kappa goes down or Jensen goes down or Marpet stays down, you're okay with the Shipley center Jensen guard combo?
Yeah, like, because they worked out pretty well this game. You know?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, the only guy I really seen play some sort of badly on the offensive line was Donovan Smith. He had a couple of bad plays in the game, a couple bad ones I seen. Like Brian Burns beat him, but he overpassed Tom Brady too, so it really didn't matter. But
you know, now here's the thing though. I want to come to a little bit of Donovan's defense because you're right. There were some times when I looked up and he was just standing there watching everything else unfold, not doing his job. But there were other times when Donovan, you talk about that idea of going to the echo of the whistle, and Donovan really, really did it. So I can't give it up to him all the way.
That's why I'm not really giving him much. I was like, he had a couple bad plays, but I'm not giving him dirt. You know, the whole offensive line did well. So I have nothing really much to complain about there. So that's a plus.
There was one play where Kappa got blown up so bad he tackled Fournette.
Yeah, I saw that. And listen, the one sack that we got came off of Jensen, not Donovan Smith. So Jensen just missed his block, but I'm not going to give Jensen any crap.
Yeah.
I'm not giving Jensen any crap because
he hasn't done that forever.
But, and I'll tell you this, that 98 yard run that Rojo popped was off of a Jensen block. I can't say it was all Jensen because Rojo did the work, but that would not have happened if Ryan Jensen didn't get into that second level and take care of that block out there to let Rojo go free.
You know, I was thinking about this today before the game, thinking about how they need to give Rojo the ball more. And I don't understand why they keep giving Jensen the ball and all that, Fournette the ball and all that. And I was thinking about all the things the coaching staff keeps saying about Ronald Jones that we just don't see all the time or ever. Mm-hmm. And one was that breakaway speed. So when he outran everybody, Chin gained on him a little bit. And then the gaining stopped, and right when Rojo started to pull away, Chin saw it and made a ditch effort and dove. So that was really nice to see that Rojo just didn't get caught from behind.
Speaking of Rojo, he had a really good game. Especially bounced back. After that fumble on the first possession, really bounced back. Mm-hmm. And Bruce Arians, credit to him and the crew, they didn't put him in the doghouse. Mm-mm. They didn't punish him.
Right.
And they let him. They let him eat.
Right.
Let him eat, and he ate 192 yards, and now he's forever etched. Right now he's etched in Buccaneers record history.
Mm-hmm.
Good job.
Time to take James Wilder's. Oh, he's not in the Ring of Honor. Oh well,
he'll get there. Hey, I want to talk about the super chat that we just got in here, talking about the play calling. Brian says play calling was actually really good this game and gives him more confidence in the coaching staff going forward. Ren, I actually want to get your take on this first.
Sure.
Definitely, this was something I wanted to talk about from the top of the show. I just figured it would come up at some point. Play calling's been another. We talked about Todd Bowles, how he's been getting it from Bucks fans. Byron Leftwich has been getting it for 2 years from Bucks fans for the play calling. How'd you feel about it in this game?
They put up 46 points. What is there to complain about?
Right.
Every time someone
210 yards on the ground.
Yeah.
Now 98 of that was still off one play, but still.
Yeah. Well, but who's to say they didn't get 50, 60 yards off that drive if they did it traditional way?
Right. Right.
On the ground, I'm saying. So, anybody who says to me, I don't go out and look for it on Twitter, but anyone talks about the play calling, I'm like, they have at the time they had the most points scored and they were third in points per game. And the reason they weren't first because some teams had played less games and that type of deal. Then the Saints game happened. And I kind of had no bullets that week. I'm like, okay.
Right.
The play calling was terrible. It was the whole thing was terrible. The game plan was terrible. The calling was terrible. The defense was terrible. The defensive scheme was terrible. And they got into a position where they had to, just basically abandon the running game. People were like, you got to run it more than five times the kneel down. Well, yeah, but you also got to not be down 28-0 by the time you get a first down. Mm-hmm. There's these, you got to ask yourself why. Like Byron Leftwich knows he can't win a game running the ball four times. I know that. You know that.
Right.
My cat knows that. So, it's not, he didn't do it on purpose. So why did it happen? But then he kind of get back on the train here. And it's like with any call in baseball or football. Or basketball, if a coach designs up and mocks up this play, it happens in football, obviously on every play, and it works, it's what a great play call. If it doesn't, it's, God, that was a terrible play call. So
yeah.
I can understand where people are coming from with, you know,
Kevin Cash pulling up, like, he's not in the World Series now. So it may have been a good call, you know, if it worked out, but if it didn't work out, it was a bad call. You know, it's like, hey, you know,
that was going to be a bad call either way.
Yeah.
That, that's going to go, that's going to go down in history as like the, as like the meltdown
in the conference finals in the ALCS. He did that and it worked out. So,
yeah. But even if it did work out, people were like, why take the chance? I mean, there's, you know, I don't really want to get into it, but when someone's having that type of day, like, you know, you keep giving him the ball. That's why Rojo kept getting the ball, because he was having that type of day. So
he got 200. God dang it. They should have
get him 200. So I understand what, where people are coming from, and I get it. And, you know, I do get frustrated, you know, when they run it between the tackles on first down, which is something they don't do anymore. I never understand why it's third and less than 10 and you run more than one person that's not a running back shorter than the sticks. I don't get that type of calling, but everybody in the league does that type of deal. Mm-hmm. We saw it on, that's how the Bucks got three and out the very first drive. You know, it was like third and six, and Robbie Anderson runs a 4 yard crossing route. He catches it. Lonte David comes up, makes a tackle. It's like, just run 6 yards. Like, I don't get that kind of stuff, but that's what I would say was, like, look how many points the Bucks are scoring. And look where they are in points per game average. And not every, you know, not every play is going to go 99 yards for a touchdown. Yeah, that wasn't a great play call. It was the book. He ran it right off.
Yeah.
Right off the center's ass. That's what we're going to do.
Right.
3 years ago, they did that. Howie got Jade. With Howie Haley, George, the center with the big beard.
Yeah, Josh Hawley.
Yeah, he got folded and it was a safety. Right. They were on the same play 3 years later. It goes 99 yards. Like, got to execute.
Yeah, I get it. All right, John, you got anything else for us tonight, buddy?
I'm really off. Deep bench, you know, they even though, you know, they did, you know, start to struggle, you know, in the, you know, after, you know, struggle a little bit in, you know, the first half, they really picked it up in the second, you know.
They did.
They really did. And even in the first half, you know, they had one of the touchdowns was due to short fielded. So, you know, due to the fumble. So you can't, they honestly didn't have that bad of a game. You know, they had a couple misplays, but overall they had a good game. They had a good game. So not a bad game by the defense. So, you know,
I'm not going to complain when the offense starts inside the 30 once and then at the 3 yard line twice. And that's 14 of the 26 points you gave up, like, or excuse me, 13, because they missed a 2-point conversion. Mm-hmm. So 13 of the points. So, you know, you just can't you can if you want to, just don't do it to me.
Right.
Yeah. It's really hard to do that. It's really hard to defend against that short fieldage.
Yeah, big bounce back game for the offense and defense.
Yeah,
makes you feel good as a Bucks fan. Not spiraling the drain anymore.
There you go.
Yeah, I really got that taste of the Saints game out of my mouth. And you know, it was nice too, because they swept us, but then we swept another divisional rival. So,
and we got one more divisional rival where we still have both games available. So,
did you hear that stat today where Brady's never lost three division games?
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, they talked about that to some extent on TV.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we think the Falcons now, so they're I don't know what's going on with them. Mm-hmm. So
they're gonna be James just like this. I don't mean they're gonna be like the first half. Yeah. It's gonna be hard games, man. The Falcons can score, and they've won like 3 out of 4.
I just don't know what to do now. I just don't know anything about their head coach now since they fired Dan Quinn.
Well, it's Raheem right now, right? This? Yeah.
Raheem Morris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Raheem.
Our guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God, that guy. Oh my God. Was he back? Wasn't he like coach back in like 2011?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that guy. Oh.
Yeah. John's having a revelation live on air right now, folks. Right now. Oh, so, God.
And John, then we went to Greg Keanu.
There you go.
We went to Lovie Smith, and then we went to Dirk Cutter. And now Bruce Arians.
Yeah,
that's the guy.
John, I'm gonna let you go and let you dwell on that. And
you work through your feelings.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah. Call us back next week, and we'll see how you're doing with that realization.
We're gonna win both of them. He's trash.
There you go. Thanks, John. We'll talk to you next week, pal. Oh my gosh, guys! Phone lines open. Anybody wants to call in 864-729-BUCKS. That's 864-729-2827. Or you guys click that link And we'll get you guys in here. You guys can come join us and come talk to us. As
I
want to
answer a question in chat real
quick. Yeah, go ahead.
Buck Squad Podcast. If Saints lose today, we're on top of the division, right? Incorrect. Since we got swept by the Saints, if we have a tying the same record as them, they get the first tiebreaker. So that's why it was such a big game against the Saints. Right. Basically, it gave them, even though we're only down a game, it really gave them a two-game lead because we have to be up, you know, by if they tie a game or, you know, we tie a game and have less losses, then that half game counts. But realistically, we have to have a game lead on the Saints because if we end the season with the same record, the very first tiebreaker, the Saints get it because they swept us.
Mm-hmm.
The end. Everyone knows that.
There you go. There you go. Ren, we got somebody who wants to join us. Actually, a couple good friends of ours.
Best buds.
From across the pond.
Shared many brews together.
There you go. What's going on, guys? UK Bucks from the UK Bucks podcast. Gentlemen, welcome back to the PewterCast. You got us? Uh-oh, they're trying to fix it. Oh, no. They dropped us. They'll be back. They'll be back in just a moment. Listen, talking internationally, you can't blame them. We can't blame anything for what happens there. So they'll come back. But hey, you guys want to join in, please do that. Ren.
Somebody explain to Bucks squad that the Saints have had their bye. Sorry.
The Saints have had their bye. Yeah, we have not. Our bye comes up in 2 weeks, I think.
Week 13, I believe it was. Last you can do it.
Yeah, right.
Last week.
Right. So we have... This was week 10, so we've got 2 more weeks, and then they come in. So, I mean, Ren,
yo,
had a good offensive showing today.
We did.
Had a good defensive showing today.
We did.
Let's talk special teams.
Why?
Not our strongest suit.
Haven't been for years. Haven't been since, never have been. Haven't been before Armstrong got here. Haven't been since Armstrong got here.
Yeah.
I remember me and you sitting in that fan event.
Uh-huh.
And Armstrong going, we're going to be aggressive, and we're going to be this. And I was just like...
Friends like, bullshit.
Yeah, we'll see. I've been here every year. And they're terrible. Like, I told... When I was on a Panthers pod this week, I told them, like run out every kick.
Yeah.
Because they don't even set up to try to stop you until the 25. So all you do is fall forward, and you're already plus yardage than you would have been.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, the punt return that almost went for a score. Like, it's our punt coverage isn't great. Anybody mm-hmm. that's, you know, kind of quote unquote had sort of a guy that can hurt you back there has mm-hmm. not with a big run like that. But, you know, like every time they catch it and try to make a move, first, second guy missed, third guy misses. They end up getting 7, 8 yards, 10 yards, 12 yards. Mm-hmm. It's not good. It hasn't been. And I'm just, you know, I'm going to play ostrich on that. I'm going to bury my head in the sand. Like I will talk about the special teams playoff week. And talk about how much I'm worried about that. Because that's when it only really matters. To be that's unfair. But that's when it can swing a game. And if it swings a game, your season's over.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
All right.
Like if we play, who we play next? Is it the Rams?
Yes. Monday Night Football. We play the Rams.
If we play the Rams in Monday Night Football and we lose the Rams on a special teams play, mm-hmm. it sucks. Should have won the game. But we have more chances after that.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. like nothing infuriates a fan base more than losing, like your whole season's over because of a blocked punt mm-hmm. or, you know, just something or somebody returns, you know, like, oh, we're up by 4 with, you know, 1:50 left and you kick it off and the guy returns it down to your 20.
Yeah.
Like that's the worst.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm not really going to talk about this, but you can. You want to talk about the special teams?
I mean, you covered it when you said the special teams have been awful around here for years, and they continue to be awful.
Mm-hmm.
We had a blocked, I think it was a field goal. No, or extra point. We had a blocked extra point. Mm-hmm. And then they whiffed on the one, and the guy, didn't he score on that one where he returned it? You might not have been around for that one, Ren.
No, he got tackled the 3. That's how they got there. That's how Bridgewater got that 3-yard rushing touchdown.
So he gets tackled there, and it just, I mean,
it's hard to watch.
It is.
And so instead of like trying to dissect it, because, you know, I'm not a special teams expert. Not uh-huh. that I'm a, you know, offense defensive expert, but I actually pay attention and you can see what's going on the screen.
Uh-huh.
On special teams, you know, most of the time you're only got like 2 guys in the picture.
Right.
So you can't really break down what's going on. And even if I, you know, I have the ability to do all 22, but I'm not going to go do it to go talk about Armstrong's punt coverage because I don't care.
Fair enough. Well, Ren, we got a phone call. Let's find out who we got on the line here with us. You are live with us at the PewterCast Live with Brent and Ren. Who do we got here on the line with us?
What's up, Ren? This is G Vegas.
G Vegas, what's up, buddy?
G Vegas, Nostradamus, you mean?
Yeah, that was I feel like a real good run for that 99 or 98 yards. And then as soon as he was right away, I was jumping up and down, and my kids were like cheering along with you. It was pretty good, you know, time to watch that.
Yeah, good moment. What do you got for us?
I want to bring up, how about that? Did a great job doing that as the center, having Jensen move over the guard, because I didn't see Shippy he held his own and he had his snaps really good on the shotgun.
Yeah, that's a little bit what John talked about Shipley doing well and it wasn't a liability. Jensen moving on guard wasn't a liability. And that's something that ran through my mind, but I really wasn't going to bring it up. But since you did, so far from what we've seen, Shipley snaps are more accurate than Jensen's have been. But of course, the sample size is so much smaller.
So much smaller, right.
So, Brett, do we want to get into the conversation of what Shipley brings to the offensive line compared to what Ryan Jensen brings to the offensive line?
No.
Or when Marpet comes back, do you sit Kappa?
No, I think...
we're not there yet, right?
Yeah, my opinion, and again, the sample size is so small that I have no way of making this an accurate assessment.
Well, he's 100%.
It's true, but so is that guy who got one catch today, and that's the only catch he's ever received in the NFL.
Hall of Fame numbers,
exactly.
thrown to me.
No, here's the thing: I think Shipley was a better fill-in and placeholder at center than Joe Haig was at guard. Yeah, so,
exactly,
I would rather have Jensen and Marpet. And I'm fine with the right side of the line. I don't want to mess with that. Leave Kappa, right. Leave Wirfs.
Yeah.
You know, we want to do something in the offseason. Maybe we look at moving Wirfs over. Fine. But for right now, I'm great with that being over there. I don't want to touch that. I would rather have a Shipley Jensen combination out there than a Jensen Haig combination. But when Marpet comes back, then no, it's Jensen and it's the other guy. Marpet. It's Jensen and Marpet when they come back. I don't think there's any changing on that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree with sort of like with John, what said was like, if anybody, the interior linemen go down, I'm okay with Shipley playing center and moving Jensen to right or left guard. And I won't have to worry about it now going forward.
Yeah. I have much less worries should something happen that we bring in Shipley and shift Jensen out. But, I still, my preference would be put Jensen in at center. Cause it'd be a huge miss missing Jensen. Not only the tangibles of what he brings to the offensive line out there when he's actually doing his job, but also the intangibles of what he brings as well, which is what we've been missing from Marpet. So, G Vegas, what do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. I'd much rather have Shipley and Jensen combo than, Jensen and Haig, because Ryan Jensen did very well for the most part for that guard, except for that one sack he gave up. But other than that, it was nice for him to just step up, helping his team out, because I can't be a guard. I'm a center, he moved to guard to help out the team, which is nice.
Yeah, true.
There you go. I like it.
We just don't know about it.
I like it. G Vegas.
You might have bitched and moaned all week.
There you go. G, you got anything else for us before we let you go, pal?
I just want to talk one thing about the defense real quick.
Yeah, man.
It seems the only thing that the defense really needs is JPP to step up. If he has a bad game, it seems the entire defense has a bad game. But when he's on, this defense just, forces three and outs, just like they did in the second half.
That's interesting. Do you think it's because of the position he plays, or do you think it's because of his leadership? And when your leader's playing well, other guys sort of fall in line. Because JPP, we found that out last year. Like, he became one of the leaders in the locker room on the defensive side of the ball very quickly. Mm-hmm. So which one do you think? It's just like, if he's having a good game because his position's so important, then the defense has a good game? Or is it he's having a good game and that kind of, you know, rising tide lifts all boats?
I think it's the first one you said.
Yeah, because being the edge rusher, when the edge rusher has a good game, the defense usually has a better game.
Yeah, because it helps secondary.
Yeah, can't argue with it.
I would say both, for the record. I would say it's both.
I knew you would.
You knew I would.
Brent, change the question.
No, because it's not an either or. It's both and.
The question was posed as an either or.
Right, but that's the wrong question to ask because it's a both and. So, G Vegas, man, thank you so much. I'm not going to leave you in the middle of Ren and I on this one, buddy. Yeah. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
Thank you guys. Peace out.
Thanks, G. Both and. Hey, speaking of which, let's we got another do what?
Nostradamus.
Nostradamus.
I like that better.
There you go. Buck Squad joining the video chat here. What's going on, Buck Squad?
What's going on, guys?
Talk to us about it. You look a lot happier now.
Yo, after last week, I think every Bucks fan should be happy about this one, man.
There you go.
Yeah. I needed this one, bro. This was a must. But I had a couple of questions, though, guys. I don't want to come off as like an annoying, you know, we after a win say this was wrong and that was wrong. I had a couple of questions on our defense.
Do it.
I felt like we're getting exploited as far as weaknesses go. Number one, I'm going to start off with Devin White. Now, mm-hmm. He's an awesome player, man. I love Devin White. When we drafted him, I was like one of the few people in my surrounding squad that was actually happy about it. They didn't think we should take a linebacker that early, but I loved him. His pass coverage, man, like – It's
non-existent.
Like, runs like a 4-4. Yeah, it's crazy to me. Like, how is this possible? And he's so fast. You know what I mean? Like, he's so quick twitch. I just don't get that. Like, what do you guys think? Do you see that?
Oh, yeah. Like, I are you aware of Rick Stroud's Sports Say Tampa Bay podcast?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. He does a mailbag, and I asked him that question. I'm like, you know, when the Bucks go nickel, they run basically a 2-4. Like, is it time to keep, you know, kind of like do a traditional, like they take out a guy in the had their hand in the dirt and the interior line so they can keep Levante David and both Devin White. And I'm like, people are like, teams are starting to find it. The Giants did it. Then the Saints did it. Like, and they're making Levante David turn his back and run. And they're making like Devin White cover zone or man, doesn't matter. Whoever he's covering, just throw it to him because he's going to be open. And I asked Rick, I'm like, is it time to go back to a traditional three, you know, nickel defense? Or, you know, or is it time to at least start to rotate Devin White and Levante David on and off the field so they both get reps? Exactly. And Stroud said that with Devin White's speed, all the mistakes that he erases isn't worth it. I don't agree with that assessment. But I'm, you know, I don't want to take that speed off the field either. I really don't. And kind of what I talked about earlier about, you know, playing zone and they're going to need it later off, you know, later down the road as they fight for games to make the playoffs and in the playoffs. Yeah, he's got to learn it. He's got to learn it. Levante Day is not going to be there forever. Like, he's going to be the guy. Like, it's like with Jameis. Like, he has to learn to take care of the ball. Like, he can't learn it sitting on the bench. So, but yeah, he couldn't cover, I don't know, a picnic table with a checkered blanket. I don't know, like, whatever, throw in your little Mark Twainism there. But yeah, it's been rough lately.
My God. All right. Well, one last weakness I want to point out. I'm going to hop off. I know you guys are busy. I'm a big fan, by the way.
Thank you.
Jamel Dean, man. Like, why? I feel like every single game now, it's like he gets juked on the freaking either a double move or, you know, just like a misdirection play.
Yeah, he's having a bad run. He's having it. Look, I can't say nobody's been a bigger fan of Jamel Dean than I've been, but I've been one of the biggest. I've been one of the biggest. And he's had a rough couple of like a rough run of games. And I Ren probably knows better than I do to go back and pinpoint where it might have started. But it's been more than three now, I feel like.
Oh, I can pinpoint exactly where it started.
Where?
When everyone started calling for him to start on the outside and keep SMB, you know, only coming in a nickel. And as soon as they did that, teams started picking on him right away.
There
so
you go.
It, you know, it's and it's one of those things. Because, you know, he might be like the super sub, but instead of the super sub nickel, he's a super sub outside guy. And SMB can just be sort of the other side that might not be as talented as Dean, but you know, he's plays smarter than Dean. But you know, we'll see. We'll see. They're all really young, but yeah. It's a little frustrating, even though it's a little bit unfair to expect all these guys to get it right away. Kind of like how a lot of us sort of wrote off Mike Edwards, who's been playing very well this year in his spot duties, to be honest, when SMB and Dean took off so fast, you know, out of the same draft class. Mm-hmm. So I still think it's the move because of Dean's size and speed as a starter on the outside. But yeah, that's when it started, is when he was in there every single play. Team started picking on. Well, I mean, that was the Giants game in a nutshell. Who's like is Devin White in coverage? No, then who's Dean covering? Like that was their game plan.
Right.
It almost worked. So, yeah. You know, best I can say, no one's perfect, and they're young, and they're working on it. But I think that they got the skills. I think they're really good draft picks. You know, even especially where Dean was drafted at, but. You know, it's not as bad as we've seen recently with Grimes or Hargraves. So, you know, it's kind of unfair to have like a Pro Bowler at every position.
Right.
That's a good point.
Right.
I'll take the Hargraves point and I'll take that with me.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. You got anything else for us before we let you go?
That's it, man. Go Bucks.
There you go.
I got go Bucks.
The GOAT shirt on.
There it is.
Go, baby.
There it is. There it is. I said to my wife at some point, I was like, you know, we've been talking about it on the show, but man, I really see why all those guys love Tom Brady so much, like up in New England. Like it's
You're like, oh,
right.
I hadn't seen that for 20 years.
Right. Right. Yeah. Ren, I want to talk about something real quick, just because I think it's a timely question and a good question. Ryan Griffin in the chat asked, are the Saints that good as they were against us last week? Or are we just, oddly awful last week? Or are the Panthers terrible? Are the 49ers still kind of good? The Saints are playing the 49ers right now, apparently. Right. And the 49ers are up on them 3-10 or something like that as we're talking in this moment. But what do you think? Like, okay, so now here we are sitting on the backside of hanging up 46 points against the Panthers after the showing we put out last week.
Yeah.
Is it just an oddball week that needs to be erased and we don't think about it anymore? Or, you know, what's your assessment of how
I go back to what Evan Winter said, even though I told him to shut up and he was a dumb face. Like I don't really like his stats and everything, but his point was that the Saints kind of have our number. And I think that's it. Like there are ways that teams are built that have bad matchups, you know, like you play all like any of those video games where you have like, you know, you rank up your characters and stuff and like earth beats fire and fire beats wind and wind beats, you know, rain, like everyone has a weakness. And I just think the way the Saints are built and coached that, you know, they just have our number right now. It's a bad matchup for the Buccaneers, especially in the trenches. And that's where it shows up the most. Like, I think we're fine. Like, I think we can cover Kamara. Like, I think we can cover the receivers. I don't think we can get to the quarterback. You know, I think our running backs are fine. I think our receivers can get open, but they can't stop their rush. And that's kind of, you know, what happens. And it's been happening. It's happened for all games BA's played against these guys.
Yeah.
Or coached against them.
Yeah. I think last week was
worse than normal.
I don't want to say it was an anomaly because there might be something to the idea that the Saints have the Bucs number and it's just a bad set of matchups. Mm-hmm. But I also think that it was just an anomaly of a week. It's not who the Buccaneers are. It's not what an identity for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
It was the Hurricanes' fault.
There you go. Yeah. The tropical storm, the thunderstorm that rolled over. Yes. Well, speaking of a dumb face.
Okay.
Let's bring in our next guest. making it back. And sorry if the connection's spotty, but our friends over at UK Bucks. Gentlemen, welcome back to the show.
Hey guys, good to be with you.
Oh, it's good to have you guys. Yeah, good to have you guys. Talk to us about this game. First of all, what time is it over there where you guys are?
10:15 p.m. So we're 5 hours in front.
Okay, not too bad then. Not too late.
Too bad. Not compared to recent weeks anyway.
Right. Yeah, not compared to what next week's going to be for you either. So
yeah.
All right. Talk to us about this game, guys. Go ahead.
Guys, just picking up on some of the points you were making there. Great to see a bounce back week, and clearly last week was an anomaly. I think a few of us were worried going into this one that that might be who we are last week, and a bit of concern that we could trip up again this week against a Panthers team that's lost very closely against the Saints and the Chiefs in recent weeks. So a big bounce back week, I think this week, and more like our usual selves over the course of the season so far.
Before you guys continue, is that a Tom Brady jersey you have on?
It is, yeah.
And you live in England, right?
Yeah.
How in the hell did you get a Tom Brady jersey? Like, there have been Buck fans that ordered these the day he signed and still don't have them.
So I ordered originally off the NFL UK shop, and that was just a complete disaster. So I cancelled that and then ordered direct from the Buccaneers.com. The shipping, postage and packaging was about as much as the cost of the jersey, but it got here within about 7 days. So.
Really? There you go. Okay.
All right. There you go. Right. Just like everything else in life, you pay for it, you get it.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say anything about people who aren't getting jerseys right now who order them, because you go to the stadium and they're full of them. They've got his jersey all over the place. So
you all I have to do is fly over here.
There you go.
Get your jersey. There what you got, guys? What's going on?
Yeah, I think the connection's been in and out. Not sure if some people have already covered this stuff. But yeah, I'm sure you guys will tell us. But I think for equal parts frustration, anger, upset as last week, the one thing that we both said all week was how excited we were for how – we just knew that the difference between having Brady and not having Brady is the excitement of seeing how bad we are and just expecting that he's going to make sure that no matter what, this team's better this week. And I think if nothing else, it shows that this team has the ability to be as bad as they can be and then come back and be good the week after.
You know, I'm glad to hear you say that, because to be frank, I did not have that same confidence. I did not have confidence the Buccaneers were going to go out and win, much less win as much as they did. Why is that? Because Ren, I've been covering this team for too long, and I've been a fan of this team for too long.
Ding, ding, ding.
And it's just how things go sometimes. But I am glad that you were right and I was wrong. Now, I wasn't predicting the Buccaneers to lose. Don't get me wrong. I just didn't have a great feeling about it. You know, I sort of entered this game very trepidatious and very just sort of, well, let's see what happens. I'm not really sure. We'll find out. But I'm really glad that the game turned out the way it did, for sure.
But and you guys are right.
Sorry.
Go ahead, guys. Go ahead.
And to be fair, that is not a confidence in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as an organization. That is a confidence in Tom Brady. Those are two very distinct levels of confidence.
It's, it's true. And for all the reasons Brent just said, it's absolutely right. Because because I'm a fan of the team. That's why I didn't have any confidence coming in this Panthers game. Because, you know, I can't tell you how many times Scott Smith from Buccaneers.com has blown sunshine out my ass after a blowout loss and told me, oh, this happens every week in the NFL. And he's right. And teams bounce back from it every week in the NFL. And he's right. Not the crappy teams. Not us. Not the Browns. You know, like not the Dolphins. Well, who's bad this year? Not the Jets. You know what I mean? Like these are the teams that, even though they have a dumpster fire of a game, and you can point to, oh, look, the Steelers bounce back. Oh, look, the Chiefs bounce. We are not the Steelers and the Chiefs, and we never have been, and now we are. And, of course, the main reason why is because the dude at quarterback, he doesn't turn the ball over, and, you know, he goes to the right place with the ball, and Todd Bowles has decided to actually, I don't know. Was he under some kind of – that's why Tom Brady's not throwing to Mike Evans. Mike Evans put a Harry Potter spell on Todd Bowles to only play zone. And Tom found out about it. Breaking news, everyone. Tom Brady busts Mike Evans with an illegal wand using Magic in the Muggle, in front of Muggles.
The fact that you know what a Muggle is, Ren, is very impressive. But my question to you
dude,
is,
I've read all the books.
What is the core of this wand?
Oh, who, Mike Evans' wand?
Yeah. What is the core of his wand?
Is there one? Is there anything like what drops things a lot or can't run? What can't run? What has legs but can't run? A penguin. Penguin heartstring.
It's a penguin heartstring. All right. Well, this has gone off the rails. Hey, you guys are calling in from international numbers. You guys got anything else for us?
Yeah, guys, I thought how great it is that we'll hear no more of this plane delay tomorrow morning as an excuse for anything.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, good call.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, listen, if the Buccaneers didn't go out and win today, how much would that have driven you crazy? Yeah. Of, oh, well, they had a 7-hour plane delay. They had to sit. Yeah. Look, we've all had to freaking sit on an airplane from time to time. It happens. And you can't let it affect you. It's not an excuse.
Yeah. Every time my plane gets delayed and I have to play at the top tier and 2% in my sport afterwards, it never affects me.
10 hours late. Yeah, but you still have 10 hours to go home and or to go to your hotel and rest.
Like, that's what I'm saying. It never affected me either.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, no excuse. But you're right. That would have been the first thing BA would have talked about if we lost that game.
Sure. I think there's a guy that both me and Alex have been banging on about for weeks and weeks and weeks and months that whether it's a personal favorite or just a belief in that guy getting a job done. And like Cam Brate again this week, that every time he gets an opportunity, for me, he just seems to make something happen. And that's certainly someone that when we're in those situations, when it's like what I classify as like a clear Cam Brate down, like I've got confidence that Cam Brate will make something happen rather than going to one of the random sort of, you know, Tanner Hudsons of the world and stuff.
I've always been a big Cam Brate fan. He gets open and he catches the ball, period. That's what he does. He's not great on yak. I was flabbergasted he picked up that first down. Flabbergasted. Yeah. I'm like, not only he shouldn't have picked it up, just, you know, because he caught the ball 7 yards short of the sticks, but Cam Brate picked it up. Again, When you throw the ball to Cam Brate, good things happen. I remember I used to say that a couple of years ago, and it's nice to be able to say it again. And that was a lot harder, tougher catch that he made for the first score, you know, than I think he's kind of getting credit for, because Brady was throwing heaters out there today.
Yeah, he was.
He was throwing the ball.
He had some zip
too
on those
hard,
balls. Yeah,
too short. Like, yeah. But hey, man, you know, he threw 3 touchdowns and 365 and. And, you know, put up 50 million points. So throw as hard as you want to, Tommy.
Look, you know, my favorite part of that Brate touchdown was after he got up after the touchdown, like he turned around and looked for the ball just so he could pick it up and do the Gronk spike.
Yeah.
And you guys tell me what you think. We all know how the Buccaneers social media team and their content team has just been on point. I need Cam Brate and Rob Gronkowski in a spike off. I need a grunt, like who does it better? And then at one point, somebody got the ball and they tossed it to Anthony O'Clair and he turned around. Like he didn't even get the touchdown, but they gave it to him and let him do the Gronk spike. Like I need this as a competition, in my life right now. I really do.
That's definitely the next thing for the social media team. I'm still backing Gronk to pull off the best one, even with a slightly bad shoulder as well.
Yeah, I suppose
I understand that he's not fast on a 40-yard dash, and he doesn't look like the most athletic guy you've ever seen. But there's a role in any team for a guy who's just reliable with a pair of hands. For me, and that's Cam Brate.
Humphries is the same guy. Get open, catch the ball.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be right here. Here I am. Throw it to me. I'll catch it. I promise.
And I would say, honestly, Cam Brate, a little bit like Rojo, like for the last bunch of years, we just haven't seen enough of him. Haven't seen enough. Like they have not been utilizing Cam Brate because we've had the OJ Howard and we've had the Rob Gronkowski come in. Look, Cam Brate's fine. I know he's played injured and I know he's had all these other things, but give him the ball, throw him the ball. It's like Mike Evans, and I get it. There's only one ball to spread around, but I mean, just good night. He's that reliable with stuff, and the way he stretched out to grab that ball, and I didn't know that he was over the line at first. I really didn't, but I'm sure glad he came down with it. So, you guys got anything else for us?
Yeah, just the last thing, guys, and then we'll let you go. But JPP again.
the conversation about him and Shaq Barrett, I think JPP having a much better season and a sack and the big interception today. So him coming up big for us when it mattered again today in the second half.
And realistically, that could have been two interceptions in 2 weeks as well. So, you know, that's right. Not traditionally something you're going to see out of that position. So I think he's playing at a high level, especially for a guy of, you know, his age and his status on the roster.
Yeah, the three-finger death pick.
I mean, Ren, you tweeted out or you put out a message at some point. I remember it was in the Collide app. You said, who says JPP shouldn't play in coverage or something like that? Like talk about that.
I did not say that because JPP should not play in coverage.
Well, what did you say? You said something.
I said the three-finger death pick.
Okay.
Like, because instead of the three-finger death punch, it was a three-finger death pick. But here's my question. Do you think both of them are playing well enough to bring them back, Shaq and JPP? Do you want them both back next year? Of course, it matters what the price is. Yeah, but it matters. Okay.
Well, we got JPP under contract.
Like, are they asking to get paid as top defensive ends? If yes, then no. Like, if Shaq Barrett's asking for the kind of money that he rightfully was asking for at the end of last season, that's not even a conversation. But if he's willing to go back to being a rotational piece, that's fine. I just don't know what his expectations are after being a sack leader last year. This is more of a humbling season for him and his agent this year, which works well for the Bucks. So if we're talking about the kind of money that either they're on now, then JPP more than Shaq for me at the moment, but you know, I'm certainly
Okay. But here's the thing though. Think about how much career JPP has left versus how much Shaq has left. Shaq has so much more left to go, whereas JPP really is kind of, he's like on a 2-year rental every time we turn around. Now we've got JPP locked up for next year. So yes, I want JPP back for the price that we have him in his contract. For Shaq, yeah, I want him back. I don't want to break the bank, but look, if anybody can figure out how to make Shaq Barrett happy and keep us in a good cap position, it's going to be Jason Light and Mike Greenberg. Let's cross our fingers and hope that Mike Greenberg stays with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and doesn't get picked up as a GM for another team somewhere out there. Cause you got to know he's in line at some point.
What's your cap? Like, I want Shaq back, but I won't pay him a penny more than this. And I want JPP back. I won't pay him a penny more than this. I'm not going to hold you to it.
I don't think you'd want to pay him any more than, I don't know. I mean,
I think JPP, like you say, Brent, comes back on, we have him on contract to the end of next year, then I wouldn't be surprised if JPP calls it a day and goes off to his nice home and retires. But Shaq, I don't know, maybe they go short term again, something around $8 to $10 million for a year or
no way. I'd pay him way more than that. I think if JPP gets
Golson makes seven.
I think Shaq's probably in the 12 to 14 range. That's probably low.
It depends how much you believe that last year was a one-off or not. That's ultimately the question, isn't it, that we all have, is whether can he produce? No one's asking him to produce at 16 sacks. No one's asking that. But can he produce at near double-digit sacks? That's the ultimate question, isn't it? Because if he's not, is it worth paying him $12 million to contribute 5 or 6 sacks a season? Is he worth more than Will Golson at that position? I'm not sure. Like, obviously, Will Golson is not a main stud, but then if you're only getting 4 or 5 sacks a season, then neither are you at $12 million either.
I think 12.
Let's keep this question and ask it after week 16, week 17, maybe.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. All right, guys. You got anything else for us?
No, we'll let you guys get on. We're busy and popular, so we'll get out of your way.
Enjoy listening. Thanks as always.
All right. Yeah, glad to get to talk to you guys. I know that time difference makes it a little hard from week to week, but we'll talk to you guys probably not next week, but definitely on a future week. Okay, guys?
That's great. Thank you.
Repping in the UK.
There you go. There we go. I always love the fact that we're an international show over here, Ren.
Yeah.
Hey, we're heading back out to the phone lines.
We're like a house of pancakes.
There you go. We got a caller. I think they're from Dallas, Texas. Who do we got here on the line with us? You're on the line with Brent and Ren for the Instant Cast.
Hey, what's going on, guys? What's going on? It's Prime from Dallas.
Prime, what's going on, man? I saw you jump in the chat and then we lost you. What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, man. I wanted to hop on video, but I'm out here driving and stuff, and it just was not working out.
Yeah.
So we just hit the phone line, man. It's good to talk to y'all again. Real talk.
Thank you.
Hey, this game, so one, before I go to this game, with what y'all were just talking about as far as Shaq Barrett, he's not getting the sack numbers, but I think fans are, when it's like $8 million or something to get Shaq, to keep Shaq, mm-hmm. They're being blinded by the fact he doesn't have the gaudy sack. Mm-hmm. And like when the guys ask, hey, can he produce like he did last year? Like, so sacks, and I know you guys know this, but sacks are at least part circumstance and luck at times.
Right.
That's just the way they work. But if you go by pressure rate, like Shaq Barrett was producing at that pressure rate when he was in Denver. He just did not get the playing time.
Right.
Right. This year, his pressure rate, I'll be honest, I haven't checked in like the last 2 weeks. But when I last looked at it, he still was producing at well above average pressure rate. What we're seeing in the defense, I think, with some of the problems we see, we're seeing how important Vita Vea is.
Right.
If Shaq gets pressure from the edge, the quarterback just steps up. Yeah. Unfortunately. Yeah. We don't have anybody in the middle who can collapse that pocket. The edge rushers get home. Right now, they are just being ridden outside, and we can't get the pressure that we need. It's just not happening.
Yeah, that was kind of the question I was going to ask the UK Buck guys next was, you know, you don't just – what Shaq is doing for the Buccaneers, he is high in pressure rate. Last time I saw, he was like top three. But it's about how he plays the run.
Okay.
What responsibilities is he asked? How's he doing in coverage? Because they asked him to do a lot in coverage. You know, those are the things that are going to bring him back or not. And at what price? It's not necessarily the sacks. You know, I'm kind of, to be honest, you know, since we're winning, I'm kind of like happy that he's not put it going to 19 and a half this year,
right?
Or, you know, might end up like with 8 or 9 instead of like 12 or 13, because that's just going to drive his price down a little bit.
Lower that price.
I want him here. Yeah. Because I want him here. And I think he does a good job. But then after they sign him to a long, you know, like a 3-4 year contract, then he's allowed to go ahead and get 20 and 22.
Here's the question I have about Shaq right now. And Prime, I'd love to get your thoughts on this. What does Shaq Barrett look like when JPP is no longer playing on the other side? Now, obviously, if we get another top-end person on the other side, fine. But what happens when Shaq Barrett is the star defensive end on this team?
Well, to be honest with you, I think that's what's already true. I think that was true last year. JPP was hurt at one point last year. Shaq still produced. I think it's true this year. I think, and maybe you are in half stats in front of you right now, but Shaq is dropping in coverage more this year, far more this year than he did last year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whatever the reason is, Bowles has decided to put him in coverage more often than to let him just rush.
So can I give you an answer for that? Why I think that is, and you guys tell me if you think I'm wrong, because we have guys like Devin White, Lavonte David. And he's sending those guys in blitzing, so he's pulling those defensive ends back for more coverage. Because we're sending these other, or even like an Antoine Winfield Jr., like sending those guys in, so we're having to drop these guys back a little bit more.
I can see that. I can see that. You're probably right on that. Is there a way, so are we then saying that last year, our linebackers, that we did not blitz as much from the linebacker position?
I think that's true.
You know what I mean?
Like, I think that's true.
We kept Shaq in.
I think that's, we had Devin White as a rookie. Okay. We were still learning him. We were still feeling all that out. And Shaq Barrett was lighting it up. So you let that work. And don't forget, we were also missing JPP for the first 8 games of the season, right? Cause he had that car wreck, which hurt his neck. Which, I mean, my God, that guy's come back from a blown up hand and a broken neck, and he's still producing at a high level. That's just insane. But yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. I don't think we were sending the linebackers as often because of that. Whereas we're sending it now, you know, they knew what they had a little bit more, and here we go.
I think it has to do with a lot of being everyone being in the defensive second year, and he can pull more out of, you know, put more on everyone's plate.
There you go.
And you know, sort of unpack his defense a little more. I don't like it when JPP and Shaq drop back in coverage. I think it's done more harm than good, but I understand why they do it. Because Brent's right, is what they're still rushing for. But when you got like nine guys lined up across the front of the line of scrimmage and, you know, four go and five drop back, which four, mm-hmm. you know, which five are dropping back. So I get that, be able to, you know, bring people off the edge or linebackers up the middle and dropping, you know, JPP and Vita Vea and Will Golston and all drop back. Sue, they all drop back at one time or another to play that zone defense underneath. So I think that has a lot to do with it too, but you know, I want Shaq here. So, you know, we'll see when we kind of cross that bridge. I kind of derailed the pod, asking that question to those guys. But, so what did you see, or what are you happy about or not happy about, on this Panthers game?
No, man. So obviously, man, ecstatic for a win. Especially coming off of the crap from last week against the Saints, one of the things that I want to give Bruce Arians credit. I want to give the coaching staff some credit because last week I felt like the loss was on them more than anything. I thought it was a horribly coached game, and so this week I thought there were several things, could be small things, whatever, better decisions by the coaches. Arians. When Rojo fumbles, I think there were jokes all over online, everywhere. I was like, well, we'll see Rojo next week. Because that's how Arians has been, right?
Right.
That you miss a block, you fumble, all of a sudden, it doesn't matter. If we only have, you know, JPP's grandma back there to rush the ball, Rojo isn't getting back in the game.
And so
I like
grandma?
The fact that...
Is that what you're calling Fournette?
Hey, no. That's and I just forgot his name. Just got right behind Fournette. He rushes like JPP's grandma, Shady.
Poor Fournette ain't much better, man.
Shady.
It was like second and one, and he tippy-toed all around the line of scrimmage. But yeah, I'm with you, man. Rojo needs to get
Fournette
the touches.
Fournette runs like he's like 180 pounds. Mm-hmm. He runs like he's not a massive back. It's the most frustrating thing in the world.
I don't think he's broken a tackle since, you know, he was an LSU Tiger.
If Fournette ran as hard as Rojo runs, he'd be a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He would be an absolute monster, like flat out. So I want to give Arians credit for not benching Rojo for the rest of the game.
But let me ask you this. Let me ask you this.
He's your best rusher.
Prime, let me ask you this though. As far as that number two back, right? That guy who's going to come in and spell Rojo, that guy who's going to be that third down passing back or whatever, who would you rather have, Fournette or Shady?
Vaughn, I'm going to pull one of you and answer a different question. Vaughn.
Nice.
That, like, I don't understand. And Mace, listen.
Sometimes I feel like a debate moderator. I'm going to ask you a question. You can spend your minute answering however you want. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. You've been doing it for 5 years to me. I phrased the question to paint you into a corner to make a hard decision, and you go, they're both fine.
I'm going
to
cut her.
If I had to pick between the two, I would take. I would have to take Fournette, only because. As bad as Fournette has been, what we've seen from Shady has been even worse. And I don't know how it's worse, but somehow it's worse. So I would have to say Fournette, but I don't understand why Vaughn hasn't really seen much playing time since the, I think it was the first Panthers game or something.
He was inactive today.
He just hasn't seen much playing time.
Yeah.
He's been active every week. He's been active every week except for when Fournette and Shady were injured. And then he had a...
He's been inactive, you mean?
Yeah. No. Did I say active?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been inactive. And then he threw in the ball and he fumbled it. But you know, it was so exciting to see how natural of a pass catcher he was when Brady hit him in the flat for the touchdown early, like week three or something. Because that was not an easy catch either.
Yeah.
And he just made it look easy and he kept his feet in bounds and he knew where he was. He put his foot in the ground, he turned it up and just, you know, put it within the pylon. I was like, oh, okay. Like I can get behind this. And then, he fumbled one and then Brady fired one off his helmet like a week or two later. And I was like, okay, this is not going to be good for him, but I'm with you. You know, I was fully expecting not to see Rojo for, you know, a couple of weeks after he fumbled his first touch. Or his second touch. And I'm glad that BA is realizing that they're just not the same back, you know? And guess what? Fournette's dropping balls too. Like, it's time. I did this on the Buck in the News show when we had our guest on. It's like, Fournette, Rojo, pick one. Because when you go with Fournette, nothing really happens. When you go with Rojo, things happen. Like go with Rojo. And, you know, you're going to have to live with a drop every once in a while. And hopefully, you know, he doesn't really have a fumbling issue. It's just he's had two recently. So it seems like a fumbling issue. I think that's his third lost fumble or maybe third fumble altogether in his whole career. So he doesn't really have an issue with it.
Yep.
And I'm just like, ride Rojo, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
He's the Tampa version of Christian McCaffrey. Shaquan Jones.
What? Yeah.
None of that's true.
But see, here's the thing about Vaughn, though. Because we have Fournette, because we have Shady, Vaughn doesn't have to go, right? Yeah. Like, he can have that sort of red shirt freshman year where he's learning and getting caught up to speed and working out and all that sort of stuff. Like, he doesn't have to go. And I think one thing that in all my following of the NFL, I've generally seen that when somebody gets a chance to not have to be pressed into service right away, that works out better for them. Some people are ready for it and they're good to go. But otherwise, you know, it's okay to be a rookie. It's all right to be a rookie. You know, they'll come along. Look at Kappa, right? Look at Rojo, honestly.
It's nice to have a roster where you can do that too.
Exactly. There it is. Exactly.
I would like to amend what you just said.
Careful, Prime. You're already treading on thin ice, brother. What's up, man?
Hey, for everybody listening, if my call drops, I didn't do that. The question is not if, or you said it, because we have Fournette, because we have Shady, we don't have to have Vaughn can like rest. That's not actually true. Because just like we've been saying, Shady and Fournette are pretty much trash. So the truth of the matter is, because we're winning, we are winning in spite of Shady and Fournette. Because we're winning, we can let Vaughn continue to learn. If we were losing games, none of us would be okay with Vaughn being inactive and continuing to see Shady and Fournette. We would not be okay with that at all. But we keep winning, you know, with 7-3. So at 7-3, your fourth round running back or fifth, I forget where he was, you're okay with him resting.
Third, yeah. Third, you know, you keep saying we're seeing Shady. Third. We haven't seen Shady in a long time, at least 2 or 3 weeks. So,
this is the fourth week in a row where Shady hasn't played one offensive play.
Yeah, yeah. He may be playing special teams, but he's dressing. He's at least dressing. So, no, I get you, Prime. You got anything else for us for tonight, buddy?
No, man. I'm glad to still win. Glad to see Tom Brady. Have the team bounce back and actually glad to see weapons look like weapons on an offense. So, all of those things bode well and looking forward to next week. And glad to talk to you guys again.
Thanks, Prime. Have a good one, buddy. We'll talk to you next week. All right, bud. All right. That was Prime, one of our frequent callers here at the PewterCast Live.
I'm calling Prime a friend.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like it. When a good friend of the show, Prime is definitely in that category. I'll give.
No, I mean like real life friend.
A real life friend. I like that. Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. I would agree. I like Prime a lot.
I've noticed that if you laugh at my jokes, I like you a lot quicker. I warm up a lot quicker.
Mm.
It's probably the megalomaniac narcissist in me.
The Narcissist. Remember that review we got that one?
Yeah.
Brent didn't know shit about football, and Ren's a narcissist.
Bingo, you nailed it.
That's the magic of the show, folks. That's it right there. All right, Ren. Well, man, hey, listen, that's going to do it for us today for the PewterCast Live. You got any final thoughts before we wrap up the show here?
Death taxes, Bucks win. No, I mean, it was great, man. You know, there's nothing really to complain about. The defense started off a little slow. I know there was a lot of, talk around how the Bucks offense the past couple of weeks hasn't got off to the fast start they did the first couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I think they kind of buried that, you know, the second half defensive effort, going to put everyone's worries about the defense at least till they play another game.
Right.
And somebody misses one tackle and then, you know, we'll be clamoring for somebody else. But the only thing that I saw today that I did not like was besides special teams.
Oh.
Besides that was Brady missed a lot of deep balls, wide open deep balls.
He did. He could get them down there. His accuracy just wasn't there, but he could get them there.
Yeah. He overthrew all of them.
Yeah.
Badly.
Yeah.
So, but again,
there was one to Mike where the ball was just way behind. I mean, they were not, Brady did not put it where Mike was going to be at all. Didn't even come close.
It landed out of bounds. You're going with the one he threw in the end zone?
No, he was in the middle of the field.
There was one in
the middle of the field that just threw right behind him, like kind of threw it between him and the defender as they're running. Mike, it was just.
And now we're talking about that, that pass to Chris Godwin. How did that not get picked off?
The one where he went through like three defenders and they all missed it and it found Chris. He got lucky. They got lucky on that.
They did.
Because that would have been like, I was thinking in the moment when I saw that, I was like, man, if that was Jameis Winston, like, even if it didn't get picked off, they'd be like, "Oh, that was an intercept. That was an interceptable ball." Or
it was an interceptable ball.
Sure, it was, but they would have pointed it out with that guy. Yeah. You know, now we're just like, "Man, he threaded that needle right there.
He threaded the needle. Wow.
Yeah, that's why he's the goat." I know. No, they got lucky. They got lucky.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right, folks.
That was the dumbest pass I've seen in a while.
It was not his best decision. It worked out. His best decision. So, all right, folks. Well, hey, listen, that's going to do it for us on this edition of the PewterCast Live. We'll be back later this week with a new midweek show, kind of giving us a break from all the humdrum of everything that's at. But don't worry, we'll be back at the end of the week for Buck in the News. We're going to wrap up everything that's going to happen this week at One Buck Place. We'll also talk about the injury report. We'll preview the game. We're not really previewing the game, but we'll talk about things that we're looking forward to in the upcoming game against the Rams on Monday night. All of that. So you guys make sure you stay tuned to us here at the PewterCast. Ren, why don't you tell the folks where they can find you out there on the internet?
I got a idea for Wednesday's show topic.
All right.
Dumbest callers.
Let's put that in the hopper and see what happens.
We'll put a pin in that and come back to it never. I was just kidding anyway. I don't know. No, we don't have any dumb callers lately.
Oh,
this year.
Okay. There you go.
It's been a while. Anyway.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I'm sorry. You know what we've gotten a lot of feedback on this week is the top 10 media show that we did.
Yeah.
Lot of feedback. Like, and it's all been positive. Well, except for one. It's all been positive.
Yeah.
So it's a good show. Good show.
I keep telling you, man. Like,
yeah.
I come to you with ideas. And you're like, hey,
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, before I go, Joey, thank you so much in the chat room for reminding me. Swords and Skulls, Ren. We didn't do Swords and Skulls. Go ahead and, Joey pulled it out there. So I'll put his up there. He says Rojo and Jamel Dean, sword for Rojo and the skull for Jamel Dean. Ren, what do you got this week for Swords and Skulls?
Rojo has to get the sword.
He does. He popped it. He broke. I mean, it turned the tide of the game, right?
Yeah, he has to get the sword. You could give it to Tom Brady. Had a great game.
Sure.
Skull, I'm giving Keith Armstrong, and it's long deserved.
Yeah. Okay.
We should send him a skull. Make him wear it around practice.
There you go.
Like Mardi Gras beads.
There you go. Make him wear it like Flavor Flav clock right there.
Yeah.
My
coaching sucks.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm PewterCast.
There you go. For the record, I wrote mine down before the show. If anyone can see that on the thing, it says sword goes to Rojo. Kind of like you, Ren, my skull is to special teams. I didn't specifically say Keith Armstrong, but that's exactly what I was meaning. was because I couldn't remember his name in the moment, quite frankly. So yeah, Swords and Skulls, that's who we got. Ren, who did you have as your predictive MVP this week?
I picked Carlton Davis.
Oh, how'd that work out for you?
I don't know. How'd you do?
He let a few go, and he had a pass. He had one of the pass defended. They didn't seem to throw to him a whole lot this week. I think it was three, four times.
Going on. I think Panthers are going to put up some points, but none of them are going to be on.
Right.
Carlton was going to sneak him in there. Like, well, he didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
But it was something I forgot to say when one of the callers were talking. It was nice to see some passes contested this week instead of a guy catching the ball and no one around him for 4 yards and then coming up and make the tackle or chasing him down and make the tackle.
Right.
But I do not like how the other teams, all their players are fighting for extra yards and getting them. You know?
Yeah.
I haven't seen sort of someone when the defender comes up to stop the ball carrier or receiver, they get 2 to 3 to 4 more yards consistently.
Right.
Instead of like, boom, he makes the hit, doesn't go any further. So.
Got it.
That's my skull.
All right. Tell the folks where they can find you out there on the internet.
I had time to talk about that earlier, Brent. Okay, continue. Okay, you're done. Okay, fine. Okay, fine. That's nice. Best place to find me on the internet is on Twitter at Rendax, R-E-N underscore D-A-X-T. I'm always down to talk Buccaneers. Pew, pew. Football.
It is so much nicer when you actually look into the camera or towards it.
How can you tell with the glare on my glasses?
Because the glare goes off your glasses when you look at the camera. It's good to see your eyes. It's actually good to see your eyes.
Smoky eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like the glare.
Yeah. Mm.
You guys, I'm looking. That's why Jameis Winston, me and Jameis Winston, that's why we got with the visor on, carry my eye.
There you go. We need to get you LASIK, my friend. If you guys want to get in touch with me, you find me at Brent Allen Live across all the social medias. And the show is at the PewterCast on Twitter and on Facebook. You guys can find the email address at thepewtercast@gmail.com. Find us out there on the World Wide Web at thepewtercast.live and all the fun ways you can get in contact with us. You keep up with us. You can find everywhere that you can find the PewterCast. If you prefer us on the podcast feed, which podcasting app, you want to watch the video, you can go back and do that. Everything's right out there. You can even leave us a voicemail now on right there directly on the webpage. So you guys go out there and do that. Really? Thepewtercast.live. Yeah, it's pretty sweet. Lots of stuff going on over there. So
strongly worded voicemail about my co-host.
There you go. Do it. Yeah. Keep it to 60 seconds less. We may play it on a future episode of the PewterCast. Really? Yes, we may. Did you
get any emails at all this year?
Yeah, we've had a handful. We haven't been asking for them a ton. Like, we haven't been doing the thing. Anyway, out of all that, guys, until next time, go Bucks.